continuing with the paragraph, V'lamal Shinim, which is the Birchas Aminim against the heretics, we're going to begin with the words of the Rambam, Ramosha ben or Bar Maimon, Maimonides, who passed away in 1205, the Mechaber of the famous Svarim, the Mishnah Torah. He tells us with regard to this bracha, B'yemei Rabbi Gamliel, in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabu Hapikorsin B'Yisrael. There are many of these people who are in Apikorsim that denied Torah. V'hayu Matzirim L'Yisrael Masisan Oysan L'Shuv Me'achrei Hashem. And they had an agenda. And that agenda was to cause problems for the Jewish people and also to entice them to go against Hashem's Torah. V'kivan Shira, this is an incredible line that the Rambam says, as soon as Rabbi Gamliel saw Shizu Gedol Mikol Sarche B'nei Adam, he realized that generation, that this was the biggest problem, the greatest need, Kol Sarche B'nei Adam. At that point, Amad Hu Beis Dino, he as well as the rest of his court, came along, V'hiskin Bracha Achas Shtehei Bosh'el M'lechni Hashem, L'Abed HaPikorsim. That they stood up and they decided it was time to institute a 19th paragraph in the Shemona Esrei in order that Hashem should be able to intervene to destroy such apikorsim. So why does it have to be in our Shemona Esrei? It's because if it's not in the Shemona Esrei, then people end up not saying it, if it's just some extra prayer. And therefore they insert it as part of the Amida that everyone should be aware of the seriousness of this of these groups of people. Nimsu kol brachos shebetfilah teisha esrei brachos. Even though, as we said yesterday, ironically as it may be, that the Shemona Esrei, the name of that prayer means 18. We don't even have 18. We have 19. It's because this was instituted at a later time. Continue with the next thoughts of the words of the Sefer HaMenucha, which was written by Rabbi Noach Rabbi Yaakov, who lived in the same generation as the Meiri and the Rashba. And it's no coincidence the reason why it's called the Sefer HaMenucha, because that was his first name, Menoach. So he says, with regard to this paragraph, he says, B'mei Rabbi Gamliel, as the Rambam introduces, actually from the Gemara, in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, after the destruction of the Second Temple, Rabu Haminim Yisrael, there were many of these wicked individuals, Shaharim B'yamav, during those days, it came out the students whose names were the Tzadukim and by Susim, who, as we discussed last week, the Tzadukim in particular only believed in Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, but not the oral tradition. They were kofrin b'Torah b'divrei kabbal hamitis shibadenu. They just denied the Torah as we know it, and the traditions, the true traditions, kabbal hamitis, they don't just denied it. So jumping a few lines, Amud hu beis dino, so Rabbi Gamliel stood up and established this extra bracha. But as the Gemara tells us, as the Sefer Menucha tells us, it wasn't the great Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, the prince, that instituted this paragraph. But hu uvado l'tikna, for some reason which we'll discuss today, he didn't establish it. Rather, as the Talmud in Brachos tells us, that Amud Shmuel HaKatan, it was Shmuel HaKatan, the junior, Shmuel Jr., established it. And it says that Shmuel, and there was another person, Shimon HaPikuli, a very great sage as well, he was there, Vishar Chachamim, and the other sages were there, Shinismichu B'Tekanta. They were basically agreed to the words of this tefillah that were instituted by Shmuel HaKatan. And continues the Sefer HaMenucha, he says, Kidamrinan, as we quoting the Gemara, the Rabbi Gamliel asked all the Chachamim present, he asked the question, Kulam yesh adam shiadul sakin brach l'minim. Is there anyone around that can do it? Which is amazing. The Rabbi Gamliel, who was a tremendous scholar, for some reason felt he was unable to do so, and we'll discuss why. So at that moment, after he asked the question, it was answered that Shmuel HaKatan said he'd be able to do it. And the Sefer HaMenucha continues and says, it's very difficult if you study this paragraph, it discusses the destruction of these people. So that really seems to be counter the whole philosophy of Judaism. After all, v'niskin bracha, if you want to establish a bracha, why don't you have the bracha de'lahadu b'tshuva? Have them pray that they should change. As we find in the famous story between Rav Meir and his wife, Bruria, that Rav Meir felt a little bit more strong about punishing people, and his wife Bruria said, no, don't punish the people, try to do tshuva, have them do tshuva, so that this way they're not rishayim anymore, they're not sinners. And therefore, the philosophy that Bruria is teaching us, that Rav Meir, the great Rav Meir, agrees with his wife, is that we should not just destroy Rishayim, but we have to try to destroy the sin. He's, after all, the Pasuk says, Gam enesh l'tzadikot tov, it's not good to punish. So he answers that the kavanah sabracha, the significance of this blessing, sheyichusu min olam bizman sheyirtzo l'hatzu Yisrael, that we really don't want people to be punished, but when they are causing problems for us, at that moment, we have no choice but to ask for their downfall. But certainly, we don't want it. But if they already are the ones that are initiating, then we are going to pray for their downfall. There's an important message, which we're going to stop at that point with Sefer Menucha, is that when we see that there's problems, that people are causing problems for the Jewish people, it's not allowed. We can't just sit back and just do nothing. We have to be proactive. We're not allowed to just say, all right, let them destroy us. We have to be able to stand up and defend ourselves. A further note, Shmuel HaKatan. It's a very interesting name. So they explain the reason why he's called Shmuel HaKatan is because he was a tremendous anav. He was a very humble person. He considered himself to be very lowly, which of course he wasn't. He was a great person, but he was so humble. But it teaches us, so how could such a humble person institute this paragraph? Who can do it? And this guy just jumps up, because it shows that even a person who is an anav, even if you're humble, you have to at times take action and stand up for wickedness and corruption in the world. Just to sit back and say, I'm sorry, I'm an anav, I'm too humble to do it, that's unacceptable. That's not within the Torah philosophy. But I'd like to conclude with a thought of why Shmuel HaKatan? Why not Rabbi Gamliel? Why not Shimon HaPikuli? Why was it this particular individual? So if you comb through all Perkei Avos, you find all different people that say different Mishnayos, different words of ethics, how we should behave. And we find when it comes to this great sage, Shmuel HaKatan, he only is found one place in one Mishnah. And this Mishnah is in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chaf Dalet. Shmuel HaKatan says, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, I'll read the entire Mishnah. Bin poloi vecha al tismach, uvichasholu al yogil vivecha, Penir Hashem Barabainov Beheshim Elavakwa. It's translated here as, when your enemy falls, do not be glad, and when he stumbles, let your heart not be joyous, lest Hashem see it, and displeases Hashem, and he will turn his wrath from him to you. So, a person who critically hears this, it sounds like a beautiful, powerful statement that he's saying. But the problem is, this is actually not his own words. This is actually a pasuk from Proverbs, from Mishle. And we know that when it comes to universities, the biggest problem, one of the worst words that a student could ever hear is plagiarism. To be able to pawn off information and give it the perception that it's your own intellectual work. We find that constantly people are trying to do book reports there. They copy and paste on a Word document. It's not theirs. And it's something which is, of course, unethical. So what does this Mishnah mean that it's Shmuel HaKatan Omer? He's not the one that said it. It's said already in Mishle. It's not him. So if we study Perkei Avos, you have to understand that Ethics of Our Fathers could have really been written by one person. You can go to a bookstore and you can find one author who writes pages and pages of all different ways we're supposed to behave. However, if you would study that person's behavior on their own personal level, they may or may not follow their own advice. When we study Perkei Avos, it's necessary to also study the person behind that Mishnah. And you'll very often find, with proper studying, that the quote of that Mishnah, that person didn't just say it, he lived by it. And that's what really he stood by as one of his life lessons. And therefore, with that understood, certainly Shmuel HaKatan wasn't pretending that this was his statement. But he was saying, I live by this pasuk. This pasuk of bin floy vechal tismach. I will not rejoice when my enemy falls. And in fact, if I do, as the pasuk concludes, Hashem will turn his wrath against them to me myself. And therefore, in conclusion, perhaps with this we can understand that when establishing this particular tefillah, which caused the Abikorsim caused so many problems for the Jewish people, It's very possible that you writing it, and certainly Rabbi Gamliel, who was a Nasi, who was a political figure, you would think maybe he would have some personal biases or some vindictiveness in writing it. And therefore, it was only someone like Shmuel HaKatan that was able to establish such a bracha, a person who was able to separate his own agenda from the downfall of the Rishayim, as it states in the Mishnah, Binfo HaVechal Tismach. And therefore, this is a significance when it comes to the paragraph of Lamashinim, it had to have been written only by Shmuel HaKatan. Kaddish.